Man, I don't know about you, but I am so glad I came today. You know, I was sitting there as we were singing, and I wondered to myself, what would it look like if we truly said, here am I, here's all of me? See, typically we sing that, but we don't live that. There's a small portion of our life we said, God, you can have all of this, but you can't have that. That last song, God, you don't owe me anything, but you've given me everything. What does it look like if we truly, that song that we just sang, I want you more than everything, that nothing is more important than you, God? How would it transform your life for those statements to become reality in your walk with Jesus Christ? What would it do to our church if that became a reality in the way that we live out our faith? You see, it is these songs, and Carl and I never talk about these songs, but they always mesh so freely. I told him when he came that you pray and I pray and it'll all be all right. And the songs always come together. Aren't you glad to have a worship leader that prays to God and seeks his will for our praise and worship music? Yeah. And our team is wonderful. Now, I'm a little excited today because I get to see some people, faces I haven't seen in a while, and I'd like for you to join me in welcoming Brian and Kelsey Talley and their family. So good to see you guys. Just my heart leapt. I'm just so glad to see them. Matt and Trish, good to see you back, and it's good to see every face here today. And I'm bad at names. You got to tell me your name. Nicole. Friends, I worship watching Nicole worship, you know? She means it. She means what she says. And I just got to tell you, that just thrilled me, sister. I know you mean it. And so today we're in this next week of our, week number 6 of 8 weeks of our discussion on the spiritual gifts. But based on the songs that we sang, I want to tell you this up front. This is free. This is what I didn't prepare this. So this is free and gratis. Unless you give him everything, you will never experience everything that he has to offer. God wants you to experience everything that he has to offer. Therefore, he has given you special gifts that he wants you to use to expand your knowledge of him and the joy of your salvation. Spiritual gifts are not a letdown. They're a gift to bless you and to bless through you. And we have people that have that. And so far, we've talked about wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, and last week, miracles. And today we're going to tackle, in the next few weeks, we're going to tackle some of the ones that could be, often are, misunderstood. Today we're going to be talking about prophecy. What is prophecy? Next week, Pastor Jared will be speaking on the spiritual gift of discernment. And I'm going to get a little bit into it. I won't rob all of Jared's stuff today, but I have to touch on it briefly. And then in a couple of weeks, as we close this series out, we're going to be talking about what is this whole subject of speaking in tongues. And I'll be closing us out, speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues. I want to make a challenge to you this morning before we ever get off the ground from this point on. Invite somebody back. Bring somebody back. Don't just invite them. Bring somebody back with you in the coming weeks. Let's fill this place because it's important what God is trying to tell us. So if you have your Bible, I want to ask you to turn. We've been focusing in 1 Corinthians 12, but I don't want you to turn there. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2, as Jared was talking about this morning, and we have not talked about what I was preaching about. But Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 18. And once you've found your place, Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 18, you can open your Bibles or open your Bible apps, or if you don't have those, we'll have them on the screen. But once you've found your place, I'm going to ask you to join me as I read aloud and honor the reading of God's Word. I think it's important. So would you stand when you find your place? All right. Here's what the Word of God says. And it will be. You might want to just underline that. It will be. It's going to happen. It will be in the last days, says God. That settles it right there. There's an old bumper sticker that says, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. It's terrible theology. God said it. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It's going to happen. That settles it. Says God that I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Then your sons and your daughters will what? Say this. prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. I will even pour out my spirit on my male and female servants. The word here is actually the word slaves, but he's talking about believers in those days, and they will, not might, not should, not could, they will prophesy. Would you pray with me? Oh God, today we invite you to just take over. Search our hearts right now, and Lord, if there's anything that would prevent us from hearing your word and reacting to your word and obeying your word, right now would you search that out and give us a moment just to confess it and ask your forgiveness? We know we're an imperfect people. Lord, we sin routinely. We go intentionally at times against your will and your word. Forgive us of that. Holy Spirit, speak to every person who is here today, who's joining us on campus or online. Speak as you can, Holy Spirit, to every individual, to the need in their heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you saw my Facebook this week, again, I wanted to let you know that we are continuing to follow Governor Abbott's rules, and so masks are up to you. If you feel comfortable wearing them, please do. If you don't want to wear them, there's no mandate to do that. And so just continue to wash your hands and those type of things. We would appreciate that a whole lot. But today we're going to talk about prophecy. And today, this morning, I want us to really look at four key aspects of what prophecy is. And I want us to ask or answer four key questions about this particular subject, prophecy. The first question is, one, what is or who is the author of prophecy? Let's talk about the author of prophecy. And we need to understand that in order to be able to differentiate whether it comes from God or not. The first and foremost, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 to 21, I think we'll have it on the screen here. He says, first of all, you should know this. You know, anytime you see that in the Bible, don't we think we ought to stop and pay attention? First of all, you need to know this. Here it is. No prophecy of Scripture comes from one's own interpretation. No one's prophecy or Scripture comes from anyone's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. First off, we need to understand that we are not the author of prophecy. And I know we've seen them on TV. We've probably met them in communities where I got a special word. I got a new word from God. I would tell you, when you hear that statement as your pastor, just put the brakes on and beware. Because we'll talk about how you're going to be able to differentiate that, whether it comes from God or not. But we need to understand that we are not. We just don't make these things up. That when God begins to move through men, through the power of His Holy Spirit, they begin to speak, and they begin to speak on behalf of God. So when a pastor or a teacher or a person talks to another person and says, "Thus saith the Lord," you better make sure, and I better make sure, that it comes from the Lord. We need to make sure, because we're speaking as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. The message is not our own. The message can never be our own. Why? Well, let's look a little further. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, John on the Isle of Patmos was given this incredible vision of what heaven was going to look like. I mean, incredible. And in chapter 19, he shares and relays this incident and this vision where this angel begins to talk to him. And it says, "Then I fell at his feet to worship him, but he," the angel, "said to me, 'Don't do that. I am a fellow slave with you and your brothers who have the testimony about Jesus. Don't worship the one who is sharing the word. Worship the one who is giving the word. And your brothers who have the testimony.'" Worship God because, check it out, the testimony is about Jesus in the spirit of prophecy. Oftentimes we see in our world today, and we'll again get into it a little bit more, but we see these guys that stand up on television and put out their posters and all this kind of stuff, and they're saying that they have a fresh word from God. Can I just tell you this? I believe the Scripture is complete. I believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that the Lord does not change, and the message has been given, and it does not change. And we're going to talk a little bit more, because I think you can have a fresher understanding of God's word. But a lot of these guys will tell you, hey, I have a fresh word that you should give more to the church. That's between you and God, by the way. We preach the word of God because it teaches on giving. But to say, hey, God gave me a vision that you need to give triple your tithe, beware of that. So where does it come from? Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible answers the question. For everything, I underline that word everything. Everything was created by him. Who is him? Who is him? Everything was created by God. Nothing that has been created was not created unless it was created by God. In heaven and on earth, the visible and the indivisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him. And here's the key of that. And for him. Even the gifts that he gives us, he has created and he has given them to us, but for him and for the body that he loves, the church. The Bible says we need to understand that it doesn't come from us. It's always focused on Jesus. It comes from God. And 1 Peter goes on to say in chapter 4, verse 11, he says, now if anyone speaks, it should be as one who speaks God's word. This is really, we're getting into this definition of prophecy. If anyone serves, it should be from the strength of God that God provides. You don't even have strength of our own. So that, why? God may be glorified in Jesus Christ in everything. That's every part of your life. It's every part of my life. Does God, can we answer that question? Does God get glory in how I live my life? In the words that I speak? In the places that I follow my feet? Does God get glory in everything? Because Peter says, to him belongs the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. The author of prophecy is from God. This beautiful gift that God has given. But we got to dive down just a little bit more. So what is it? Now, y'all know I like word studies, and I really like to go in deep, and I won't try to butcher these words in Greek or anything, but the word for prophesy is simple. It's not difficult. It simply means to speak forth, but it doesn't stop there. It's what we speak forth. To prophesy means we speak forth, declaring the divine will of God in a way that reveals the purpose of God. Think about all that we speak and all that we do and all the places we go. But when we begin to speak, people do listen to our words, and we are to speak those things that reveal the divine will of God. Some would say that the things that I do every Sunday morning, and I happen to agree that when we prophesy, we're speaking the word of God and the will of God to his people so that they can do the will of God because of the word of God to other people. So there's this prophecy. I like what Christianity.com says. It says, prophecy is hearing from God. How do you hear from God? Praying. Reading his word. God sometimes speaks through other people. God sometimes speaks through circumstances. But if we have sin that is in our heart, we will not understand what he's saying to us. And so we see here that it's speaking his words. His words. I think we have to always be careful when we say, I did this, or I got this. It is the witness, they go on to say, of Jesus, the center of the gospel. It reveals that God is real. If we believe then that God is love, then prophecy is the ultimate act of love, to tell, declare, prophesy what God wants others to know. What does God want others to know? What does God... See, I think we put prophecy in this package where it's something that, the rest of us can't understand. No, prophecy is simply declaring God's word and his will to other people because he wants them to know what? That he loves them unconditionally. that he sent his one and only Savior to die on a cruel cross to pay for a price we could not pay. He was buried in a grave, and on the third day he was raised again, and he had victory over death. That's the words that God wants other people to know, and he did that because why? He loves you. Prophecy is not difficult. Prophecy, the definition, but the focus always has to be about it, that it's a gift, it's not something we conjure up, and is to always be shared with others. Do you know the word preach is another little Greek word, and it means to herald or to shout. They're very similar, this word prophecy and kerygma, which is the Greek word. Who can herald the good news of Jesus? If you can herald the good news of Jesus, raise your hand. Come on now. That's everybody in this place. That was a trick question. Everybody here can share the good news of Jesus Christ. Everyone could say, thus saith the Lord, that if you believe in Jesus Christ, that if you confess your sins and ask for forgiveness and then believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you can be saved. Every one of us can do that. Because that's what the Word of God says. By the way, I love an amen now and then. But the focus is a gift from God to be shared with others. It's from God to us for others. For what purpose, though? For correction and direction. See, prophecy is always something good. It's always good because God's trying to do that, but sometimes when God gives us a direction, it's not good because we have to change doing what we're doing in order to align with God's Word. It's the hardest thing it seems that we have to deal with. God, I'm doing it my way, and I'd like you to join that. We got that so messed up. God, what do you want, and I'll join that. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And prophecy is just is God's Word helping people to get back on track and to understand what God's will is for their life. And if we truly grasp, if we truly give Him all that we are, man, He begins to unopen the beauty and the glory and the adventure and the joy and the excitement and the encouragement of heaven. Who can prophesy? We've already established that. A prophet. One who prophesies. It is one that is given another message of greater authority and speaks for him to those for whom the message is intended. You will never look at a person that you come in contact with this next week that doesn't need you to prophesy the Word of God. God loves you. He gave His life for you. He wants to be in relationship with you. All you've got to do is this. What would happen? As I said at the beginning, if God's people begin to prophesy, it happened. These unlearned and ignorant men, these fishermen, former fishermen, begin to speak, and we'll talk about in a few weeks, of other languages, but they begin to do what? They use that language to prophesy, to tell, to foretell, forthtell. You don't have to be an ordained pastor or minister to use this gift. Go back to Acts chapter 2. He's going to pour out a spirit on all humankind. The reality is it's a gift. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Paul tells to the church at Ephesus, he says, now grace was given to each one of us according to the Messiah's gift. Because we are saved, then we're each given a gift. For it says, when he ascended on high, he took prisoners into captivity. He rescued them. He gave gifts to people. This is one of the gifts that, trying to define what I would call the higher gifts, this is one of those. This is one of those there's nothing better that you and I could do than to desire the gift of prophecy. God, help me prophesy in your name. We are never the possessor of any spiritual gift that we've talked about and those we haven't. We are simply the vessels through which God uses that gift. We're stewards. God's going to give gifts to those, and as Paul told young Timothy, he said, we need to stir it up. We need to stretch it. We need to exercise it so it comes into a flame, not just a little bitty spark. Well, that takes using it and practicing it and doing it again. And there's two aspects of this that I want to address. And some say, you know, some say it's foretelling. And some say it's forthtelling. I believe it's both. I believe God is still using, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He wants to tell someone, that something's going to happen, He can do that. That's called foretelling. It's more than a prediction. See, that's the thing. It's not a prediction of the future. It's a fact of the future. If God's in it, it's a fact. And it will happen. Foretelling is taking the Word of God. It's what I do on Sunday morning, what Pastor Jared and Pastor Liam, we take the Word of God, all our teachers, they take the Word of God based on the Word of God and respond and teach God's Word in order that people would be corrected and get direction. And you can do that. Every one of us can do that. But this, something is going to happen is this foretelling. I'll give you an illustration. It hadn't happened yet, so I'm not sure it was a real prophecy. We were in a grocery store, and I don't remember, I think it was the Kroger over off of Cooper. And we were walking in the grocery store, and this lady approaches us that we have never seen in our lives, never seen since. And this happens sometimes. It's really bizarre. She said, God told me to tell you, your house is going to get paid off way earlier than you think. And all I could say is, yeah, may it be. It hadn't happened yet. Although I will tell you, I don't know what God's will is in that, but I know that several years later, just a few years ago, we were able to refinance our house from a 30-year to a 10-year. I don't know if that's what she meant. I imagine it wasn't, because then it could be explained away. And remember what I told you about spiritual gifts and those type of things and miracles? They can't be explained away. They have to be given glory and credit to God, not something man can do. People refinance their houses all the time. But that was an illustration of foretelling. This is going to happen in the future. If it's of God, I hope He hurries up. But then there's this foretelling. And this is what where the prophets of old would stand up and they would use the Word of God and they would say things into people's lives that were hard. They would say things into people's lives because the people needed correction, that they were straying away. They were drifting away from being in the center of God's will. And God would send a prophet to speak His word, and they would use Scripture and His word to share with the people to hopefully get them back on track. That is forthtelling. It is aligning the Word of God with the will of God for His people. Biblical prophecy is way more than proclamation. Is more than about proclamation than it is prediction. So always beware that says God's going to do this for you. Don't scoff at prophets. Test the prophets. You know, somebody says you're going to get $1 million in 3 days. Buddy, I got it on my clock and calendar. I'm going to find out if I was talking to a false prophet. So how do you, that leads us into the next question. How do we know, how can you know that a word of prophecy is authentic? Well, I'm glad you ask. The word test. Now, how many of you like the word test? Well, it depends on the context, right? You ever go in through the perfume section over at Dillard's or Macy's and, you know, you go in the men's section. Maybe some of y'all don't do it. I may have to turn in my man card, but, you know, kind of like to, you know, spray it on your, you know, your wrist. Man, I like that. Now, Karen will come up to me and said, man, I would like to smell that on you. Well, hey, that's a good test, right? But when we're tested to find out if we're default, that's sometimes we don't care for that when God begins to test us. But in Scripture, the Bible tells us to test all prophecies. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 20. Paul was talking to that church there, and he says, don't despise prophecies. I like that. But he didn't stand there. He said, but test all things. I've always tried to tell you, don't believe what I say here without testing it. Go back and research in the Scripture if what I tell you is true or not. Because ultimately, you're not going to answer to me in heaven. You're not, and I'm not going to answer to you. I'm going to answer, and you are going to answer before God. So you need to know that who you're sitting under the authority of as the preacher or pastor, that they're telling the truth. And I challenge you, if I'm not telling the church, stand up and say it. If I'm not saying the truth, you owe it to your fellow believers in Christ to challenge that and say, well, here's what the Word says. How can that be true? You test it. Hold on to what is good. He goes on in 1 John. Again, we're talking about John, and he says, dear friends, he's talking to believers, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to determine if they are from God. Because, here he goes, many false prophets have gone out in the world, into the world. Now, I'm not going to name names, but there are people out there that are preaching this comfort gospel that your best life is right now. Friends, can I tell you, we were just talking about last night with friends, you know, as we were talking about peace and wanting all this stuff to, can I just tell you, when you read the Bible, it don't get better, it gets worse. It's all leading towards where God ultimately glorifies himself and ultimately wins the battle. He comes back on a white victorious horse and brings his people victorious with him to heaven, those that know him. But before that happens, there are going to be a lot of false prophets claiming to be speaking from God, saying that if you'll give this, he'll bless that. God is the one that tells us what to give and what to do and what not to do. God, if it doesn't come from God, and so there's four things I want you to know. There's four ways that you can test this gift of prophecy. Number one, and this is so important, does it bring glory to God or to another person? When a person is beginning to bring this glory in on him or herself, it is a false prophecy immediately, period. Secondly, and I love this, does it align with God's word? Can I just tell you that God's prophetic word will never go against his word? Do you believe that? I've had people say, I've heard stories and I've actually heard conversations where God told me that you are to divorce this person. Poppycock. My Bible tells me in Malachi that God hates divorce. Now, for those of you who have experienced it, I am so sorry. That's a very difficult time, and I don't judge that. And I want you to know with good news that it's not the unpardonable sin. And it's forgivable, and you walk like you're fresh and new when you ask for forgiveness. You don't look back, you keep going. But I've had people say that. I've had people say, I was talking to another pastor this last week, and other churches were saying, yes, Jesus alone, but you can get saved, but you must get through, the only way you can get saved is through our denomination. That's false prophecy. You can only get saved by surrendering your life to Jesus Christ alone. It's not a gift of works. It results in works, but it's not a gift of works. And they say if you leave that denomination, that you will be lost and go to hell. Where is that in the Bible? That's false prophecy. So we can, does it align? And no spiritual gift, none of them, will ever contradict the scripture. It will always confirm it. That's the way you can tell. If it's not in alignment with God's word, it is not in the will of God. Never. There are these extra biblical prophecies that are out there. Those are all garbage if they don't align with God's word. I like how D.L. Moody said it. He said, when in doubt, sola scriptura, only scripture. You have a doubt of whether it's right, go find it in the scripture. God's word is not going to lead you astray. It's going to draw you into the right direction. It's going to correct you when you're off direction, and it's going to bring you into a much deeper relationship with Jesus. Prophecy will never contradict the word of God. The third one is, does it come true? Look what in Deuteronomy, they even back in the Old Testament, they were having these false prophets. Hey, they're listening to these guys, and they like the credit they're getting. They like the prestige these guys are getting. So they said, well, we'll just try to make some of our own stuff up. Look what it says in Deuteronomy 18, 20 through 22. But the prophet who dares to speak a message in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet must die. That ought to scare the living bejesus out of preachers today. Can you imagine with that reverence if we made sure that when we say, thus saith the Lord, he said it and he meant it? He goes on to say, now you may say to yourself, how can we recognize a message that the Lord has not spoken? And he answers it. When a prophet speaks in the Lord's name and the message does not come true or is not fulfilled, that is a message that the Lord has not given, not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Don't be afraid of that guy. Don't give him any attention anymore. He's just hot air. He likes the sound of lips flapping. He likes the sound of his own voice. Does it bring glory to God? Does it align with God's word? Does it come true? Fourthly, does it strengthen, edify, and encourage and console the body of Christ? Does it, when a word is spoken, does it encourage? Does it lift up? Does it strengthen? Yes, they may be hard words. But sometimes hard words, it's like going to the doctor and they say, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. It's hard to hear that you have a disease that you didn't know you have. It's hard to hear that, you know, you got to get the weight off. It's hard to hear that, you know, you got to change your eating habits. So how is prophecy applied? I'm going to talk more about this, this scripture in 1 Corinthians 14 before I close this section out. For the person who speaks in another language is not speaking to men, but to God. And we'll clarify that in 3 weeks, since no one understands him. However, he speaks mysteries in the Spirit. Here's what I wanted you to see. Verse 3, but the person who prophesies speaks to people for edification, encouragement, and consolation. See, Paul was talking in 1 Corinthians, our main focus, but he keeps talking about it on into the next few chapters. Because, see, we break them in chapters, but for them it was just a letter, a lengthy letter that they wrote to the people. So what does prophecy look like? What's the application of prophecy to us today? Number one, and I believe there are three. Prophecy's primary location of usage is within the church, with few exceptions. What do I base that on? 1 Corinthians 14:22, the Word of God. It follows that speaking in other language is intended as a sign. Now check this out. This is where a lot of people make the mistake, and I don't want to, I'll give you a little bit for 3 weeks, but it says, not for believers, but for the unbelievers. And then he goes on, but prophecy, he says, tongues are for unbelievers, but prophecy is not for unbelievers, but for believers. I didn't say this. The Word of God says this. So prophecy is to be used in the context of the body gathered in order that when God prompts somebody, and maybe you've sat there on a Sunday morning and you felt like that God prompted you to stand up and say something, then you will be disobedient if you don't stand up and say something because the body needs the Word or he wouldn't have given to you. We're afraid of that today. Pastors are afraid of that. What happens if you give your mic up to the person? Well, if it's from God, I want what's going to happen. Amen? So if you feel that, you have the freedom to say, Pastor, I got something that God's putting on my heart. Make sure it's, remember what I said, make sure it's from him. Make sure it's not going down a rabbit trail of what you want to happen. Make sure it's what God wants to happen. Make sure it's in alignment with God's word, but be brave and courageous to activate that gift and stand up and tell the body the message that otherwise will be missed if you're non-obedient. So let me ask you this morning, do you have a word this morning? Has God pressed upon anybody a prophetic word for Connect Church? If so, I would ask you to do it in an orderly manner, which is the second point. It'll always be done orderly. Is there someone here that God has given a prophetic word for this church? Now is the time for you to stand up and say something. See, we're going to wind up becoming a real obedient church. I can just tell you that if you stick with us long enough. We're going to start employing these gifts and then watch out what's going to happen. Anybody? All right, well, when it happens, as with all the other spiritual gifts, it will not cause confusion. Look what 1 Corinthians 14:40, Paul goes on to say, but everything, that's everything, must be done decently and in order. He goes on to talk about that. And 31 through 33 says, for you can all prophesy. You can all prophesy. One by one so that everyone may learn and everyone may be encouraged. And the prophet's spirits are under the control of the prophets, since God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. It's another way to test. If it starts causing a lot of confusion, whatever that gift may be, if it starts causing people to be frustrated, I won't say uncomfortable, because oftentimes prophecy makes people real uncomfortable. but it's done for peace. It's not done in a disorderly manner where people are standing up and talking over one another and all that, which was happening in the Corinthian church. It's done with order. So prophecy is used within the church body for believers to encourage, edify, even correct, console. It is to be done in a decent manner, but prophecy impacts lives. Otherwise, why would God give us a word to speak? Why would He want someone to be a pastor who can reveal the Word of God, who spends time to try to help the people grow and grow closer to God? Or if God impresses upon a person in the congregation to stand up and it edifies and encourages and it impacts the body of Christ, why wouldn't we want to use that? It can impact people positively. When the Word of God is spoken, let's just use salvation again, and a person is obedient, God says, go speak to that person. You tell them the words that I have for you. Don't be worried about what you'll say. I'll give them to you. He gives them, and then that person's life and that person, male or female or whoever it may be, they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do you think that's a negative impact? That's a positive impact on that person's life. You will. I promise you this, there is no person ever who will be mad at the person that led them to Christ. It just won't happen. I think one day, though, I think there's going to be a lot of questions. Why didn't you share Jesus with me? Karen and I were sharing with another couple her testimony in Germany, and one of the things, we'd gone finally to a revival after we'd been married several years, and we went to this revival when the wall came down in 1989. We were there, and so there were all this East German influx into West Germany at the time, and so we decided we would try to do something and have some kind of an evangelistic event, and we asked our German Christian brothers, the evangelical church, to come alongside of us because they spoke German. And they got up and they preached the Word of God. And Karen went up to the pastor that day and she says, "Where have you been all my life? No one's ever told me that." See, that's going to happen in our lives too, because Christians aren't employing the spiritual gifts that God has given them. And every one of us, the Scripture says, can prophesy. We have within our stewardship the greatest gift ever given, and His name is Jesus Christ. And there is hope when there is no hope. There is eternity when there's death, when we face death. There is hope and eternal life through Jesus Christ. Why wouldn't we want to prophesy that? Shout it, herald it, sing it, whatever we do. But let people know that Jesus loves them and they can be freed from that desperation that lies within their heart, that emptiness that causes so much ache and pain, that disappointment in and out all of their lives, that they can give that over to God and He will give them brand new life and a new purpose in life. To do what? To prophesy about the name of Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man, we do it with everything else. God, a person gives us this gift and it's like, look what I got. Look what I got. But then when Jesus Christ invades our heart and transforms us completely, it's like crickets. We don't say anything. Prophecy also impacts negatively. So someone may come up to you, and this could happen. I've seen it happen. Where someone could come up to a person, and I just read an article this week, it just happenstance. I don't believe in happenstance, reading this article, but it can happen. Where someone may be sitting on a plane, and this particular article that I read, and I've seen it in public, where someone came up to someone, this guy leaned over the guy in the seat next to him and said, "Sir, I don't know you, and you don't know me. But where you're headed is wrong. And what you're doing is going to ruin your family. You are going to meet someone to commit adultery. And I ask you from the Lord not to do that." And the guy's life was impacted negatively. He's like, and he cursed the guy, and I guess he went on and did what he did. But I can tell you that the prophecy came true. I promise you his life was wrecked. His family was wrecked because he didn't listen to the prophecy of God. Sometimes we can hear it, and when we hear it, guess what? You're responsible for it. When I preach on Sunday morning, I leave it with y'all because I do what God asked me to do. Now you got to do what God asked you to do. My responsibility in just a couple of seconds as the band is coming forward is over. I have to apply it to my life, but the responsibility now, because you've heard it, and if you have your Bibles, you've read it, and the Holy Spirit is quickening that within you, then you're responsible for it. So what? I always like to ask, so what, now what? What is the so what of this whole series of gifts? What is this whole series of these spiritual gifts? So what? Well, it's particularly in this area of prophecy. There is no way that you can hear from God if sin is stopping up your spiritual ears. When you are living in a sinful lifestyle, knowingly going against the word and the will of God, there's something that happens. You no longer are able to hear from God except the message of repentance. You don't have that vibrancy anymore. You remember, if you recall your salvation, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you go back to that day where you said yes to Jesus Christ, I promise you this, you heard from God. You remember, maybe not all the words, but you remembered the message that you were lost, without hope. That if you died that day, you would go and live in a place where God didn't create for you. Totally separated from your Creator, the one who loves you the most. And that day you heard His voice and you obeyed. Well, times in our lives where we forget that moment. We forget because so many things have clouded out the still small voice of God, that we have trained our hearts and our minds to listen to the loud voices. And if you do this, you'll get rich. If you just have that, you'll be satisfied. If you get this job, you'll be accepted into different circles. And the loud voices begin to cloud out the other voices. And I know this happens because it's like women, I'll just tell you, ladies, wives, when your husbands are watching football, you could go, honey, 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 honey. He's not going to hear it, because it's clouded with the loud noises of the football game. Can I tell you, when as Christians, we've lost the art of listening to God because all the other loud noises, I want this, I want to do this, I should do this. Some of us even right now are thinking about what we'll do after the service, and we miss the still small voice of the shepherd. We miss the reality of John 10 where he says, "My sheep know my voice." We miss the still small voice. And today I want to challenge you, just a moment when we pray, don't listen to the loud voices. Listen for the voice of God. Listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit to obey. I promise you it'll align with the Word of God. I promise you. I promise you if you obey, your life will change. There's so many unfolded blessings that God has awaits that waiting for us, we just miss the message. And I don't know what His message is for you. Never forget when He called me in the ministry. There was no doubt. I knew the message and He knew the message. And I've come to believe over the years that we know God's voice. We just ignore it or drown it out with other things. You must first be able to hear from God in order to employ the spiritual gift of prophecy. So you must clear out any sin that is preventing you from hearing God. Let's pray. Right there in your seats, every head bowed, every eye closed. No, please, no one looking around. And I do that because I just want you to focus on God for a second. And I want you to pray the courageous prayer of King David. Search me, O God. Search me, O God. Search me, O God. See if there's anything wicked, sinful in my life that is preventing me from experiencing the vibrancy of the life you created for me. From experiencing the adventure of walking with your word and your will clearly defined for us. I know God's shown you that because the Holy Spirit's here. You know what it is. Maybe nobody else around you does, but you know. Some others around you may know, and they're just waiting. They're praying. They're begging. Oh, God, would you speak to my wife, to my husband, to my kids, to my parents, to my friends? God, open their ears that they may hear and hear from you, because when they do and when they begin to obey the will of God and the word of God, God, we know that their life will be an amazing life, mapped out from the very beginning, even before they were born, this wonderful, adventuresome life called Christianity. Not easy, often hard, but never, never boredom. You must, as God shows you whatever that is, you must then be willing to say, God, I agree with you that that's sin. Say to him in your words, God, I messed up again. Same thing over and over again. God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And I ask you, God, and I thank you, God, that you tell us that when we confess, we repent, that you come into our hearts and you cleanse us of that sin, of all unrighteousness. And you take our feet out of those sticky situations and you put them back on your solid foundation upon the path that you've laid out for us, and we begin to live this life. God, that's what I want this morning. Pray that in your own words. And then you must be willing to obey once you've heard from him. If not, you'll walk out those doors. You'll tune him out again for a whole another week. And you'll miss out on untold blessings that God wants to give you, but also give through you. So there's people out there that will miss the blessing of you being used by God in their lives. And they are desperate in this world that we have today to hear a word from God. Can you imagine the impact to be told someone like God loves me when you're feeling unloved? God, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Speak in a way that only you can speak in a clear and understood voice that cannot be denied. I have no idea what you want your people to do, but they do and you do. So Lord, when we open up this front to come and pray, I pray you would give boldness and courage, and that singles and married couples and families, individuals would come and pray and recommit their life to you. I pray if there's someone who doesn't know you, but right now, God, you're sending out love messages. God, I love you. I love you. I love you. I want to have a relationship with you. That they would answer and say, here am I, God. I'm so sorry. I want you to forgive me. I want to live my life for you. Would you come in and take residency in my life and take control? Give me that joy that Pastor's talking about, that joy of salvation. You come. You need someone to pray with. I'm going to ask our elders who are here this morning to go ahead right now and step out of your seats and come down and stand. We don't want there to be any excuse why you wouldn't come and pray with someone. You don't have to pray with them. You don't have to pray down front, but there's just something about confessing with your mouth that changes things. God, have your way. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Speak the message direct from God's throne to your people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. My challenge to you this morning, pursue and desire the spiritual gifts, and above all, that you may prophesy. So also it says, you're after the gifts, seek to excel in building up the church. Church, respond to the message of God. I beg you to do what God's asking you to do. Come down and kneel before him. Pray. Bring someone with you. Kneel before the Lord and pray. God bless you.